Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. When I listened to an early interview with Sebastian's mother, Katie Proudfoot, and his stepdad, Chris Proudfoot, as well as other interviews with other parents of missing children, I realized that people can say things that, as worded, are true, but that may not tell the whole story. For example, in the Madeline Soto case, Maddie's mother, Jen, told the cops that on February 26, 2024, at approximately 8 a.m., she, quote, observed Madeline getting dressed for school, end quote. Now, that could be taken literally, as in Jen watched Maddie dress herself for school, or it could be seen as Jen observed Maddie getting dressed by Stephen Stearns for school, as a deceased Maddie was being put into her school clothing. By the way, have you noticed how both Jen Soto and Katie Proudfoot were both shaking and are rocking, perhaps in a bid to soothe themselves? Could this mean that both moms were not the ones who led to their children's disappearances, that perhaps they're both in shock and terrified of the men in their lives? To me, this is a plausible interpretation of that rocking and the expressions on their faces. Now, I'm not saying one or both men are guilty of making their stepchildren go poof, but it's a possibility. Listen to what Katie Proudfoot said about Sebastian on the morning of his disappearance.
For 8 days now searching for him, walk us through that Sunday night that he went missing. So walk us through, we've got so many people who really want to know, okay, how did this happen? So kind of just walk us through that night.
We were out and about that day. We were having a really good weekend. We got home. Everything was pretty normal. He was playing in his room. When I told him to go to bed, he did. he said, good night, Mom. I love you. Say goodnight to his puppies. A little bit later, I wound up going to bed, and when I woke him up for school, he wasn't there.
Notice how Katie said, quote, when I woke him up for school, he wasn't there. This could mean that Sebastian was physically gone, as in not inside the house, but it could also mean that Katie saw Sebastian in bed and she tried to wake him up, but he wasn't there, as in he was deceased. I think it's so bizarre that both Sebastian Rogers and Maddie Soto disappeared on Monday, February 26. Both their mothers rocked themselves when discussing their disappearances. Also, Jen Soto mentioned that Maddie didn't use her cell phone or laptop on the night prior to her disappearance. And the Proudfoots said Sebastian wasn't allowed to access social media, period. Also, Maddie had this man who wasn't her biological father in her life, who we know was essaying her, Stephen Stearns. Sebastian had a stepfather who has a child custody issue with his biological child in New Mexico, and who at least once used a belt on the autistic boy as a punishment. Many say Chris Proudfoot also has a violent temper. So you have Maddie, who was definitely being essayed by this outside dude, Stephen Stearns, and you have Sebastian, who was dealing with, at the very least, a stepfather who felt he could use corporal punishment on a child that isn't his by blood. I would imagine getting a belt on his derriere was very humiliating for Sebastian, and I speak from experience. Once when I was quite young, my father used a belt on my derriere, and I vividly remember it, and it was so humiliating. He never did it again. I suspect my mom told him to knock it off. But I think it's particularly egregious to do this to an autistic child. Some kids on the spectrum are very particular about how other people approach them and touch them. Also, for a young man, I mean, I don't know what age he was when this happened, but that's not his dad. That's his mother. And this guy is like physically touching him in this way. I don't mean it to imply anything intimate. It must have been humiliating. To me, Jen Soto and Katie Proudfoot both look like women under the spell and control of the men in their lives. Jen comes across as a woman who is trying to protect and comfort Stefan Stearns, and Katie Proudfoot looks genuinely devastated in at least one interview where she's rocking and crying. Is it possible both women had nothing to do with their children's disappearances, but both learned of whatever the men in their lives might have done to their kids, and maybe they felt pressured or afraid and felt forced to go along with their men's stories? I have to believe something happened in the Proudfoot home, because why else aren't Katie and Chris Proudfoot talking to Sebastian's biological father, Seth Rogers? And why are they no longer at their home? I know people have been outside of that house and probably threatening them, but a mother waiting for her child's return isn't going to stray too far from the home that the child might, God willing, return to. I mean, even if one of my cats went missing outside, I'd be staying put, calling out their name, hoping they'd use my scent to track their way back to me. The Proudfoot home has been searched at least 10 times, and both bloodhounds and cadaver dogs have been used to search for Sebastian, and none of them have been able to track his scent. Could Sebastian have died by the use of hands so as not to leave blood at a crime scene? Could he have been whisked away by a vehicle from his own garage so as not to leave a scent trail down the road in any direction? This case is so perplexing, it reminds me of that of Summer Wells. But one thing is for sure, people and children don't just vanish into thin air. They and their bodies end up somewhere. But where is that somewhere? Until the next time on Bed Crime Stories.